ABCs list, the ABCs of thankfulness. And tonight, I want us to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take every letter of the alphabet. We're not going to do them all tonight. Don't get scared. I am going to try to do half of them tonight and then half of them Tuesday night. But we're going to, at least I'm going to give you my list, and we're going to look at this thought of being thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 15, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, thanks be unto God for His what? Unspeakable gift. And that is a direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a direct reference to the fact that Christ came to this earth. This is what we're getting ready to celebrate in just a little over a month at Christmas time. The fact that Christ came, God in flesh, Christ came and became a man, was robed in flesh. He lived 33 plus years, went to the cross of Calvary. By the way, He went voluntarily. Nobody killed Christ. He went voluntarily. He sacrificially gave Himself. He laid Himself down on that cross. He bled on that cross, and He did so so that we could have forgiveness of sins. He died on that cross. They buried Him in a tomb, and 3 days later, He arose, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 15 this morning. He arose victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And He is the unspeakable gift. I'm going to ask a couple of these guys. I tell you what, Josh, why don't you help me? And Andrew, will you help me out? If each one of you will just take one side of the auditorium, and if you'll give everybody one of these, everybody that wants one, if they don't want one, they don't have to take one. Even the kids and teenagers, if there's enough. Andrew, if you'll start over here, just get these two sections. And I've given you a handout, and you can fill in the blank for this list. And it's my list, I know, but each one of you could probably make a similar list, and I would encourage you to do so. I would encourage you maybe to take pen to paper, even tonight or tomorrow night or Tuesday or Wednesday, and think about what you're thankful for when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most of you might think of many of the things that we're going to talk about tonight and Tuesday night, but I pray that you'll do that. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Romans 5. That's where we're going to get our letter A, Romans chapter number 5. We'll let these guys get these handed out. We'll pray and ask the Lord to bless us tonight. I encourage you to do this. I really do. It'll really make you think about what you're thankful for. It'll make you think about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. It'll make you think about, as we talked about last Sunday night, godly men and women. If you'll stop and make a list of godly men and women who have influenced you, boy, it'll make you think, it'll make you be thankful for the people that God has brought into your life. If you'll stop and make a list, maybe about family. I'm working on one with our family and things that I'm thankful for in my family, specific characteristic traits of my children and my wife that I'm extremely thankful for. It just helps us to think. And it helps us to be thankful. It helps us to get our minds fixed upon how good God has been to us. Because He has been so good to us. Let me pray, and then we'll get right into these tonight. Hopefully we'll get down to letter M tonight. Father, we sure do thank You tonight for Your goodness. I thank You for these young ladies that sang for us tonight. And Father, I pray that they will learn at a very early age. I pray that all of our young people will learn at a very early age. And I pray that us, that we as adults, if we haven't learned it already, I pray that we will learn how to be people of praise. I pray that we would learn how to be people that are grateful to our Savior, grateful for what You have done for us, grateful for the fact that You sent Your Son. God, help us. Help us to get our eyes off of self. And Father, help us to get our eyes upon You. Father, teach us tonight. Encourage our hearts. Father, I do pray if there's one here tonight that has never been saved, they've never had their sins plunged beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. I pray that tonight would be their spiritual birthday. And so, Lord, please teach us, help us, convict if that would be necessary tonight, and we'll praise You and thank You for what You'll do in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The letter A, what I want to give you tonight is the word atonement. The word atonement. The word atonement means exchanging equivalent values. Exchanging equivalent values. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Look back at verse number 8 with me, if you would. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The word atonement means exchanging equivalent values. And so here's what Jesus Christ did for us. Jesus Christ gave His blood so that He could forgive our sins. And now Jesus Christ has exchanged, if you will, His blood, His life, His sacrifice, His righteousness, so that my sin could be forgiven. Now, by the way, that's not a very equal exchange, is it? But that is what was necessary for my sin to be forgiven. That there's no good works, there was no blood, no individual's blood, no human being's blood that could cover and forgive and atone and wash away my sins except the precious, perfect blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, that's not an equivalent exchange, but in God's eyes it is. Because in God's eyes, the only way that I could get to heaven and the only way that I could have my sins forgiven is if Jesus Christ came, He died on the cross, He shed His blood, He atoned for my sin. And that's exactly what He did. So letter A, the atonement. Letter B, what do you think letter B is? The blood. Letter B is blood. You take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, by the way, I'm just giving you just a few verses. We could look at many, many, many verses for each one of these words tonight. Ephesians chapter number 2. And many of these go together. Many of these are going to overlap. We know that tonight because of the characteristic of the work of, or excuse me, the nature of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of these words are going to overlap. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 13. Verses 8 and 9, those are really the famous verses in Ephesians chapter number 2. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by" what? "Not by my good works, not by my church membership, not by my baptism, not by how much I put in the offering plates, tonight. The Bible says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." We're made nigh. We are brought into the Beloved. We are adopted. We are saved. We are redeemed. And it's by the blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 18 and 19. Two verses that ought to be familiar to us tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 18 and 19. We ought to be thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be thankful for His atonement. We ought to be thankful for His blood. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but..." He tells us what we're not redeemed by, and then he's getting ready in verse 19 to tell us what we are redeemed by, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Letter A, atonement. Letter B, blood. Letter C, what do you think? Cross of Calvary. You're in 1 Peter. Would you turn to Galatians? Galatians chapter 6. While you're turning there, let me read the verse that you have there in Luke 23. The cross of Calvary. The Bible says in Luke 23:33, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." By the way, can I say this tonight? That's why we do what we do. Everything we're going to talk about tonight, everything we're going to talk about Tuesday night, everything we talk about just about every service, the reason we do what we do, the reason this church exists, the reason you as a member of Maranatha Baptist Church are even here tonight is because of the cross of Calvary. It's because of what that means to us. It's because of the fact that we want others to know about the cross of Calvary. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 12. By the way, there are a lot of people out there that need to hear about the cross of Calvary. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 12, the Bible says, as many, and we were just in this passage recently, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. The Apostle Paul is rebuking, if you will, the Judaizers. He's rebuking those that teach that there is some kind of outward performance that helps us to be saved. There's some kind of fleshly action that causes us to be saved. And Paul is saying, absolutely not. Verse 14, But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, look, I'm not going to glory in anything about the flesh. I'm going to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything. Availeth means to have power. Availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what has power is a new creature. What has power is the one that's been born again. What has power is the individual that has had their sins forgiven and washed by the blood of Christ. A, atonement. B, blood. C, cross of Calvary. Letter D. I think I heard somebody say it. Doctrine. I'm thankful, first of all, for the atonement of Christ. I'm thankful, secondly, for the blood of Christ. I'm thankful, thirdly, for the cross of Calvary where Christ died. I'm thankful, fourthly, for the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm thankful for the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. While you're turning to 1 Timothy 4, let me read you the passage in Matthew 7. Matthew 7 is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And as he ends the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 28, all of those that were standing by, all those that were listening, all those that were part of the crowd, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. The people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I'm thankful for the doctrine of Christ tonight. And dear friend, I'm thankful for it because it teaches me how to live. It shows me how to live. It shows me how to be saved. It shows me how to live every day. It shows me that there's a difference between doing that which the world says and that which the Word says. It shows me that there's a difference. We mentioned it this morning. The choir sang about it this morning. The choir sang the song, I Dare Not Call Him Lord. Many Christians, and I believe they're saved. I don't question that at all. But many Christians, they're saved, but they don't listen to what God's Word says. They listen more to the opinions of the world than they listen to the opinions of the Word. And they say that they're saved, but they live nothing like a child of God. God help us, we ought to be thankful tonight, and that thankfulness ought to stir us. We said a couple weeks ago, thankfulness stirs us to gratefulness. Thankfulness is the feeling, gratefulness is the action. Our thankfulness ought to stir us to gratefulness. It ought to stir us to live differently and to act differently and to be more reverent and to be more thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Give me just a second, I'm almost there. 1 Timothy 4. Verse number 16, take heed unto thyself, Paul tells Timothy. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You know what Paul tells Timothy? He says, Timothy, don't change the doctrine. Don't change what you have been taught. Don't change what the Word says, because in so doing, not only are you going to save yourself, but you're going to be able to see others get saved based on what they hear from you. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 3. The Bible says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. By the way, notice what it's speaking about here in 1 Timothy 6. Look at verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. It's talking about the boss-employee relationship. And look what he says at the last part of verse 1. That the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. See, I said it a few weeks ago. We get this idea that doctrine is just the doctrine of salvation. It's just the doctrine of angels. It's theology. It's the doctrine of God. It's eschatology, the doctrine of last things and the end times. And we have these 10 or 11 or 12 doctrines that we hold up to be the great doctrines. And they are. But listen, every word of God's Word is doctrine. And it's all important. Even talking about the boss-employee relationship, he said, listen, you need to do this. You need to honor your master, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of Christians balk at that today. A lot of Christians bow up at that today. Well, Pastor, you don't know what kind of boss I have. I get it. I don't. But nowhere in this verse does it say that I can disobey this verse, or I can just make this verse void if I had a bad boss. No. It says I am to honor my master. Verse 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. Just because they're both believers, the employee's not supposed to despise the boss because he's the boss. And he tells him what to do. Maybe they go to church together. Well, man, we're church members and you're telling me what to do? Yeah, I'm the boss. This is my business. I'm the boss, you're the employee. And he says, and they that have believed, and by the way, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to get off on this. This is just, we need to understand doctrine is more than just salvation. Doctrine is the Word of God. Every part of it's important. And we ought to be thankful for it tonight. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. 2 Timothy 3:16. You know the verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, what's the first one? Doctrine. By the way, it says all Scripture. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Titus 2:1, this is the verse that we were looking at just recently. Titus 2:1, the Bible says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And by the way, again, what's he speaking about in chapter 2 of Titus? What's he speaking about? What's the text? What's the subject matter? He's speaking about what the aged women are supposed to teach the young women and what the aged men are supposed to teach the young men. And he says that's sound doctrine. Aged men, you ought to teach the young men. Aged women, you're supposed to teach the young women how they're supposed to live according to the Word of God. That's sound doctrine. So number four, doctrine. Letter E. Anybody want to guess letter E? Eternity. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and specifically for His eternity. Let me just read one of these and we'll move right on. Isaiah chapter 57. Let me read it for us quickly. Isaiah 57, verse number 15. The Bible says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I am thankful for eternity. Dear friend, tonight we're going to live here for a small amount of time. you know just as well as I do, especially as you get older, how quickly it goes. Can you believe the year's almost over? And we're going into the holiday season, and when the holiday season starts, it's really over. Because when you hit Thanksgiving, it's going to be Christmas before you know it. And boy, time just clicks away. It clicks away. It clicks away. And we're going to live here for such a short time. But we're either going to live there or we're going to live there. We're either going to live in the glories of heaven or in the torments of hell that will be cast into the lake of fire. We're going to live in either of one of two places for eternity. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that the Bible tells me in John 14 that the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing a mansion for me. I'm thankful for that. Letter F, number 6, letter F. Could do several on this one, couldn't you? I chose forgiveness. I'm thankful for Christ's forgiveness. Ephesians chapter number 1. While you're turning there, let me read Acts chapter number 5. Acts 5, verse number 31. The Bible says, Him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, hath God exalted with His right hand to be a Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 7. The Bible says, In whom? In whom, again, speaking of Jesus Christ, we have redemption. Here's another verse for the blood also. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And dear friend, tonight, if God Almighty, Ephesians 4 tells us this, if God Almighty can forgive us based on what Christ has done for us, and if God can forgive everything that we've done against Him, the Bible says we ought to be willing to forgive others. And I submit to us tonight, there's nothing that no one has ever done to us on this earth that we ought not be willing to forgive. Because God forgave us of all based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Forgiveness. Letter G, number 7. We're right here in Ephesians 1. We've already seen it. Letter G. I'm thankful for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Chapter number 2 of Ephesians. Verse number 5 says, Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Hey, we don't understand how good God was to us when He sent His Son to die for us. Now, I mean, we have a head knowledge of it and we ought to be thankful for it. But we don't understand what it was for a perfect Father to send a perfect Son to a wretched world to die for us. Wretched man. And that's who we are tonight. I don't care who the best person is in here tonight. I don't know who that might be. Whoever the best person in here is in here tonight, we're still wretched. We still deserve hell. And the Bible says that God's grace is rich. Verse 6 says, And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then verses 8 and 9, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The grace of God. Letter H. Hope, that's a good one. Holy, that's a good one. I'm thankful for the holiness of God. The holiness of Jesus Christ is so downplayed in our world today, even in religious circles. But I didn't pick holy either. Somebody said it. Heaven. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for His heaven. And I'm thankful that I'm going there one day, not based on anything I've done, because I've done nothing to merit me being able to get to heaven. I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven based on everything that Jesus Christ has done. Would you take your Bibles? I've got a number of verses there, but would you go to Revelation 21? Heaven. How many of you have family members that you can't wait to see when you get to heaven? Now, I said it this morning. I'm not ready to die tonight. I mean, I'm not going to go out in Fork of Deer Road and stand in front of one of the cotton pickers. I'm not going to do that tonight. Or one of the cotton trucks. They go faster than the cotton pickers. I'm not going to do that tonight. But I'm thankful for heaven. I'm thankful for loved ones who are already there. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. We have no idea. I don't have any idea how beautiful it's going to be. The Bible gives us descriptions, but in our finite minds, we don't understand it. We don't understand how wonderful, how glorious, how beautiful it's going to be. Revelation 21, verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And by the way, you say, Pastor, CCC, it says, He that overcometh. 1 John tells us how we overcome. How do we overcome? We overcome by faith. And so people grab a hold of some of these words and say, See, Pastor, I'm not going to get to heaven unless I overcome, unless I endure, unless I live good enough, and unless I do enough good things. Listen, I overcome by faith. Not by how good I am, but by faith. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Again, Pastor C, murderers are going to go to hell. Yes, if they don't have Christ. Because if they have Christ, in God's eyes, they're not a murderer anymore. But without Christ, they're still a murderer. Without Christ's blood washing away their sins, they're still a whoremonger. Without the righteousness of Christ being robed in the righteousness of Christ, they're still an idolater. Verse 9, And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now here's the truth. In chapters 21 and 22, it's talking about the new heaven and the new earth. It's talking about New Jerusalem. It's not talking about the heaven that currently exists. A new heaven and a new earth. How beautiful heaven must be. And we're going to get to go there. Because of Jesus Christ. We ought to be thankful for that tonight. Letter I. If you've already looked at the verse, you're trying to figure it out. You may already know what it is. Hebrews, one verse. Hebrews chapter 13. Anybody know letter I? You want to guess? the immutability of God. By the way, what does that mean? What is the immutability of God? The fact that He never changes. I am thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am thankful for His immutability, the fact that He never changes. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The immutability of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We don't have to get up tomorrow and guess and wonder, well, did Jesus change His mind about something today? No. Because He was the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He'll still be the same tomorrow. The way I got saved many years ago is still the same way people get saved today. The same way people get saved today is still going to be the same way they're going to get saved tomorrow and the next day and the next day and 100 years from now, if God allows us to still be here. Or not us, but allows people to still be here. The immutability. Letter J. Ooh, letter J. Joy. Nehemiah 8:10. Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our what? Is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Where do we gain strength sometimes? Well, look when we're down a little bit and we're going through a trial and we're having circumstances. Where in the world do we get the strength that we need? It's the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the joy that He provides. It's the joy in thinking about what He's done for us. It's the joy in thinking about what He's going to do in the future. Nehemiah 8, verse number 10. I tell you what, let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 29. We'll look at these two passages or these two verses here. Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29 and verse 10. No, actually, that is not the verse I want. Oh, I'm good. I'm good. It's not 10, it's 19. Isaiah 29 and verse 19, the Bible says, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Look at chapter 35. Isaiah chapter number 35 and verse 10. There's my verse 10. Isaiah 35 and verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Hey, listen, many, many times when I fix my eyes upon myself, I get in I can get in despair. I can get into this woe is me attitude because my eyes are fixed on self. But dear friend, when we fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and everything He's done for us and is going to do for us, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Because with Christ in our presence, there's joy. George, hey, if you ever find yourself in despair and sorrow and feeling a little bit down, get your eyes and get your thoughts and fix your attention upon Jesus Christ. Fix your attention upon His blood. Fix your attention upon His atonement. Fix your attention upon the cross of Calvary. Fix your attention upon His forgiveness. Hey, fix your attention upon the abundant Christian life that He provides. Fix your attention upon the blessings. Listen, dear friend, every single one of us, when we get in despair and sorrow, all we have to do is look around at all the blessings God has given us. Our spouses, our children, our church family. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. There's not a church in America like Maranatha Baptist Church. You say, but Pastor, we're small. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Joy. K. What about K?
Kindness.
Titus chapter, you've probably already looked at the verses, haven't you? And that's okay. That's why I put them on there. Titus chapter 3. Verse number 4, the Bible says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. And what's he talking about there? When did His kindness appear? It appeared when Jesus Christ came to be born and to live and to die on the cross of Calvary for us. By the way, I love the word, and I couldn't use this one because it begins with the letter L, but I love the word loving kindnesses that's in the Bible. It just emphasizes how loving and how kind Jesus Christ is to it, which leads us to letter L. That's easy, isn't it? It's love. Kel says, man, you can't fool us. It's love. It's love. What could you put better for letter L, right? John 3:16. For God's, I could have put life, I could have put light. Those are all good, but we'll get to those. You can't get better than the love of God. We've said it many, many times. It is the love of God that shows us, or excuse me, the holiness of God shows us how wonderful the love of God is. The fact that Jesus Christ, being holy, would love and would die for someone like us shows how grand His love is. John 3:16. For God so loved. And by the way, let me say this, not just certain people. I don't understand how, well, anyway, that's not for tonight. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not certain people, not just this person and that person. No. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 8:35, we read that this morning. We're not going to go there, but Romans 8:35, the Bible says, who can separate us from what? The love of Christ. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? That's a rhetorical question, because nobody can separate us from the love of Christ. He mentions there in Romans 8, 35 through 39, can death or powers or principalities separate us from the love of Christ? No! Because He's conquered it all, love. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. It's the love of Christ, and we say it, and I never try to be repetitious, but I think repetition is good. We say it all the time. We don't do what we do in order to. We do what we do because of. I don't live the way I live in order to gain some kind of merit with God. I live the way I live because of what He's already done for me. That's what that verse means. The Apostle Paul says, look, the love of Christ, everything He's done for me. I was a murderer. I had people put in prison. I testified against them, and they were put to death. And even in the midst of all that, Christ loved me, the Apostle Paul said. He said, I am the chief of sinners in 1 Timothy. Jesus still loves me. Jesus Christ still loves me, the chiefest of all sinners. And He said, it's because of that. It's the love of Christ that constrains me to keep doing what I'm doing. And then letter M. Miss Pam already mentioned it tonight. Mercy. Would you turn to Psalm 136? Twenty-six verses in Psalm 136. We're not going to read them. We're going to read them Tuesday night. But they all deal with what? The mercy of Christ. They all deal with God's mercy. Verse number one, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And we could go through every verse tonight. We're not going to do it. We'll do it Tuesday night. I'm thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for His atonement. I'm thankful for His blood. I'm thankful for the cross of Calvary. I'm thankful for His doctrine. I'm thankful for His eternity. I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful for His grace. I'm thankful for His heaven that I'm going to get to be with Him at one day. I'm thankful for His immutability. He never changes. Society changes. Politicians change. We even change sometimes. But God and His Word never change. Ever. It doesn't matter that it's the year 2021. Sin is still sin. Sin is still wrong. Sin is still wretched. Sin sent Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. If it was bad enough for Christ to have to go to the cross of Calvary, it's still bad today. Still bad today. Joy. Joy of the Lord is my strength. The kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of Christ. And the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, mercy and grace are two different words. We said it Wednesday night. Mercy means I do not get what I deserve. I deserve hell, but because of Christ, I'm not going to have to go there. That's mercy. Grace is me getting something that I don't deserve. I get heaven. I got Jesus Christ. I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Word of God. I have the abundant Christian life. I don't deserve any of that. That's grace. It's God's unmerited favor. It's me getting what I do not deserve. Mercy is me not getting what I do deserve. Thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray and I hope that maybe this list will not make you go make the same list, but will stir you and maybe prick you a little bit to say, hey, you know, I need to make some list. I need to write down things about my family that I'm thankful for. And I get it. Not everybody's thankful for their family. You can't pick your family, can you? Yeah. And I understand that. But they're still your family. And so maybe your list would be short on that one. I don't know. But whatever the list may be, thank God for the godly men and women in your life. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Word. Hey, why don't you do a list and write down things you're thankful for that the Word of God has kept you from. What about that? Or maybe what the Word of God has given you. Maybe the blessings that the Word of God has given you. In Sunday school this morning, we were in Proverbs chapter number 1. And I'm done. Let me read this and I'll be done tonight. Proverbs chapter number 1. And Solomon is trying to get his son to listen and to hear his Word. And in Proverbs 1 verse number 9, the Bible says, "For they," and the "they" is wisdom, instruction, discernment, knowledge that Solomon has talked about in verses 1 through 8. And it says, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." He's talking about there an ornament of grace. He's thinking about exaltation. He's thinking about a king, the neck, the chains. He's thinking about the royal chains that a potentate would wear. And he said, "My word," he said, "son, if you'll listen to the wisdom of God's word, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head." And so maybe you'll make a list of all the good things that the Word of God has done for you. Maybe the Word of God helped you to find a good husband, ladies. Maybe it helped you to find a good wife. Maybe it helped you to train your children. Whatever. I hope and I pray that it'll stir us to make some lists. And you don't have to give them all Tuesday night, but maybe Thursday. Maybe just you and your wife will sit down together and you'll go through some of your list. And just have a sweet time together, praising God, just the two of you. Or maybe you'll sit the kids down and the whole family down and go through your list and have the kids make lists. And have a sweet time together as a family. I don't know. The ABCs of thankfulness. Let's be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Miss Pam's going to come to the piano. I don't know if anybody needs to do any business with the Lord tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, then you need to come tonight and you need to be saved. Believer, if you're here tonight and you would honestly in your heart, you'd say, you know, I haven't been as thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ as I should be. Maybe you would come and just bend the knee at this front pew or the platform and just say, "Lord, I'm so thankful for how good You are to me. I'm thankful for Your atonement, Your blood. I'm thankful for Your goodness to me. Father, help me to be more grateful." I don't know, but I'm going to pray. And after I pray, with heads bowed and eyes closed, Miss Pam's going to play. If you need to come, if you need to come to the front, if you need to kneel right where you're at and pray, I'd encourage you to do so. Father, we love You tonight. We're grateful. And we could add many, many words. to our list. But Father, we're thankful for these words that stir emotions and stir thoughts in our mind about how good You've been to us. And Father, we're thankful for salvation tonight. We're thankful for the finished work of Christ. We're thankful for what that means to us. If there's one here tonight without Christ, Father, I pray that they would come and be saved tonight. If there's a believer here tonight who needs to be more thankful for You, for what You've done for them, then maybe they'll bend the knee tonight. I pray that they would. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Pam's going to play. Maybe you need to come tonight. Dear friend, do you know Christ is your Savior? Are you 100% confident about that? If death were to take you tonight, we don't wish that, we don't desire that. I don't desire that. But if death were to take you tonight, are you confident that when you take your last breath here, your spirit will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you confident of that? Hey, believer, are you thankful tonight? Are you thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you thankful for godly men and women like we talked about last week? Are you thankful for the victories that we spoke about this morning? Are you thankful for a God who hears? Jesus paid it all. That's what the song says. And really, hasn't that been what we've spoken about tonight? Jesus paid it all. Our atonement, His blood at the cross of Calvary, His doctrine, eternity. He paid it all so we could have eternity. Paid it all so we could have heaven. Paid it all so we could have forgiveness of sins. Washed it,